Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. You can find this on page 1505 of your pew Bibles. I don't know if you guys can hear a sermon from the heat miser. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its own trouble. Sometimes you just get it wrong. Sometimes, despite your best efforts and desires, you just get it wrong. I asked the worship committee, every year I do this, I have them talk to me for 2 hours, and we just talk about worship. We don't even necessarily get anything like set in stone, but we just talk about the worship of the church. And this year I started the conversation with the question, what is bad worship? And I'd given them a little bit of warning that this was going to be the question, and Jill didn't know she was going to make it to the meeting, so she came up to me a little bit later and said, bad worship is forced. It's doing something that we aren't. And that really struck me as I was trying to get this sermon written. Because I had this brilliant plan. I knew I was going to be wearing this with this. I knew this is what was going to be happening. So I chose that passage from Matthew and I thought, great, it'll be a perfect segue. I can do a sermon about not being so worried about what you wear and being welcoming to everyone, no matter what they're wearing, in the sanctuary. And as I'm standing here, I see someone in a suit and someone in jeans and a casual shirt. Not a problem in this congregation. Not saying we're perfect, but the what you will wear does not seem to be a problem in this congregation. It's not an admonishment I felt I needed to bring. And I've eaten with plenty of you. I know that what you will eat, we do not focus on the fancy foods in this congregation. So I tried pigeonholing this sermon because it seemed to work, but it just would not come out. And then I got to thinking about, well, okay, but what about that question of worrying about that you will eat? And maybe it's the Christian call to make sure that everyone eats. And I was like, that sounds like a really good message. And then I realized that's a really poor admonishment when we have 473 pounds of soup in our upper room and $500 to donate to United Faith. We are also good about making sure that others eat. We can't feed everyone in the world, but we, at this small church, do a really good job of making sure that there are people that eat. Sometimes you get it wrong. And that's the only problem with choosing your sermon beforehand, because sometimes you just get it wrong. But as I thought about this, I realized that I chose that sermon not because of this congregation, but because of my own anxiety over these issues. 100% my anxiety drove my desires to write this sermon. I was at Presbytery yesterday, and every male ordained staff at Second had a jacket on. I don't know the last time I wore a suit jacket in this sanctuary. Probably the last funeral I did in this sanctuary, maybe, if I didn't wear a robe. I don't know the last time I wore a jacket. It's just not a thing that I do. And I wonder, like, do I make the right decisions about my apparel choices? I worry a lot about this. I spent a good portion, if not more than an hour last week, wondering, while I'm preaching and while I'm doing the prayer of confession, do I need to take the boa off and put a stole on? Or can I leave it off? Is that okay? Is that acceptable? What do I need to do? If this doesn't look good enough, I mean, it's obviously always going to look funny, but if it doesn't look proper enough, do I need to tone it down? And I spent so much time worrying about that. It had nothing to do with the good of the congregation. It had nothing to do with your concerns or if this message was going to be good or not. And everything to do with my own personal anxiety. We like to do things in our anxiety. Because we like to, if we get anxious, then we think we need to fix it. We think we need to do something. If we're anxious, then something has to be done. I'll give you a couple of examples. When you're talking to somebody and they're going through a really hard time, especially if they're losing somebody or have lost somebody, what are those things that you say to them? Everything happens for a reason. It's all going to be okay. Heaven needed another angel. And in the moment, in your anxiety, it makes you feel better because it gives meaning to the pain. Even if that meaning is terrible and awful, even if the story is bad and the reason is bad, as long as it makes sense, it makes it easier. I mean, I have to say this. I didn't think I'd use a reference, but if you've seen The Dark Knight, when the Joker says, as long as everything goes to plan, even if the plan is horrifying, it's okay. And that's kind of how we feel. And so we try to explain things away, make them part of the plan. But if you just let somebody experience their pain, you realize that all of those things ring hollow. Because sometimes the reason is simply that this is a broken world and life is terminal. Sometimes things will be at the end. When all of this has passed away, things will be okay. But right now, and for maybe a long time, it's not going to be okay on this earth. And also, we don't become angels when we die. Angels are a different being. These words that we say ring hollow. But we say them out of our own anxiety. It's just what we do, because we need to do something. If we are anxious, we need to do something. So I'm going to do an experiment. It's not an experiment because I know exactly how it's going to work, but do an experiment. I think it's still set. Stopwatch. No, timer. Okay. We're going to be silent for 2 minutes. Now, to put 2 minutes in perspective, that is less than half of the time of your average commercial break. that is shorter than any time limit on any Mario game. It's not much time at all. But if we sit here in silence for 2 minutes, just see how it feels. Take a poll. Who wanted to fill that space with literally anything by the end of it? Literally anything. Who was tired of not, of all you could hear is, like, so I think I've got the beginning of tinnitus, and so that very faint ringing, and I've always been sensitive to electronics, like I can always hear that slight electronic buzz. And I just, you don't, like, and it's so hard when you're the one with the clock. Like, I knew how much time we had left, and I still really, I almost said, okay, we're at a minute, because I wanted to fill that space with something. We don't know how to handle silence. And so we get anxious, and we need to fix it. And when you're listening in silence, you hear things that you never heard before. That creak was a fantastic example of something that's not actually bad. It's not gonna matter at all. And it doesn't need to be fixed, but it's still kind of jarring in the midst of silence. And you wanna fix it. Last night I was sitting up here and all I could hear was the wind in the sanctuary. There's nothing I could do about the wind. Literally nothing I can do about the wind, but I wanted to stop it. I wanted to stop hearing it. When we're silent, we hear things. When we're silent, there are things that we hear and we want to fix. And so we either want to create noise to drown it out, or we want to seek it out and fix it. Try to say the magic words, do the magic things, and the things won't be broken anymore. And that is our anxiety working within us. But if you're willing to just be silent for just a moment and listen, and not try to fill the space, you can often hear where God is calling you. Now, when we're by ourselves, absolutely, the Holy Spirit can talk to us and God can talk to us and our inner voice can talk to us and we can figure some things out. But it goes beyond that. When you are with someone who was struggling, and instead of trying to fix the situation, you just listen and be present, they will guide you. In our neighborhoods, if we just listen to people, instead of trying to do for them and everything, and just, okay, we think this is the problem, here's something, and throw something at it, I got to thinking about one of the best ways for me, because we have people that come to this church, I don't even know how they find this church, but they come to this church and they're looking for aid, and the best way for me to wash my hands of their difficulty is to just give them what they want and put them on their way. It's the best way for me to do it. And we like to do that because we can do something. Then we're doing something. We're fixing a problem. Our anxiety is no longer we're no longer anxious because we're doing something. And that doing nothing is so hard. I'm reminded of Job, and I was going to pull a passage from Job, but you really have to read the whole book to get this. Job's three friends are awful. They're awful. They spend the whole book telling him, oh, it's okay. This is happening for a reason. God is choosing this and you should be grateful. Awful. And at the end of it, God is like, no, that's not how this goes. He's also a little upset with Job forgetting that God is in charge. But the whole point is that this is not okay. There's nothing okay about this. It is not our place to fix that. So I want to encourage you to not fight the silence so much. Listen. Do not do for the sake of doing. Do not do for the sake of relieving your anxiety. Do not allow your anxiety to guide you, because it is so easy. It is so easy to have a difficult situation and to be anxious about it and just be like, you know what? I'm going to do something, anything. Anything's better than nothing. But instead, listen. Listen for God's call, but also listen to God's children. What do God's children need? And how can you walk with them? Not just throw our money and our resources and our time to do for them, but how can we work with all of God's children? Because we have anxieties. This congregation has anxieties. We all have anxieties. But if we stop letting our anxiety guide us and listen for God, God will guide us. If we get away from ourselves and listen for God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.